Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Have you ever wondered if you're praying about things that are just too small for God to care for? Has anybody ever been there before? You're just wondering, am I praying for things that may be just a little too small for the Father in heaven, the creator of the universe, to really even care about whatsoever? For most of us who are learning to become a people of prayer, which is what we've been talking about here at Maplewood for the past month and a half, for most of us on this journey of learning to become a person of prayer, it's a question we're going to stumble upon. Am I praying for things that are just too small? Am I praying for things that are insignificant or without consequence? Am I praying for things considered too small, insignificant, inconsequential? The author of the book that has inspired this sermon series, his name is Tyler Staton, and he relays a story of when he was at one point in time riding in a car with his mother-in-law in New York City to a Target or a Walmart or a Kohl's or something like that. And they're going to this local shopping center, and it's this time of year, it's busy holiday time of year, and the parking lot's packed. And in his brain, Tyler is thinking, oh man, what's going to happen here? And his mother-in-law's behind the wheel, and she says, Jesus, help me find a parking place. Help me find a parking place. Tyler in his brain is sitting there, he's watching this situation, and he heard his mother-in-law's prayer, and he's contemplating scolding his wife's mother right there in the car about praying too small. Gentlemen, take note. Don't scold your mother's or your wife's mother. But he's contemplating this. Here they are. There's a couple of them. They're in this oversized SUV, which uses all of this gasoline, right? Praying for maybe a 2 to 5 minute wait to be shortened. Oh, the inconvenience of having to wait for a parking space. So that they could go into a store and buy a bunch of stuff they really didn't need when there are tons of people out in the community who actually are going without because they can't afford or don't have the means to acquire. And he's just getting his self-talk in his brain riled up and wound up and ready to just scold his mother-in-law for praying for a parking space when all of a sudden a parking spot opens right in front of them. And his mother-in-law says, praise Jesus for a parking space. And he felt a little humbled in that moment because Jesus answered the prayer and the parking space was there. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about what it means to become people of prayer. And for Maplewood, we've been talking about the reality that for us to realize our full potential as a faith community, we need to do three things, right? We need to do three things. Number one, we need to each be filled fresh regularly with the Holy Spirit. We all need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Number two, we each, this isn't just for some, this isn't just for board members or the pastors, we each need to begin to have spiritual babies. We each need to be bringing people to Jesus so that they can know the saving power, the saving grace of Jesus in their lives. And the third thing is, we need to become people of prayer. Not just for 30 days. We've been talking about praying 3 times a day for 30 days. That's all intended to help you develop new habits in your life. And it is hard. Pastor Vicky was talking about praying 3 times a day. I kind of got kicked off track this past week having my back cut open by a doctor. That'll kind of throw you off kilter sometime, throw you out of habit. But my hope is that you are leaning into praying 3 times a day. Morning, praying the Lord's Prayer. Midday, praying for the lost. Praying for people who haven't, who have known Jesus but have fallen away, right? Possibly. People who have never given Jesus a fair hearing. Our children who need Jesus in their lives. And in the evening, a prayer of gratitude. It's really not hard to develop that type of pattern. And we were talking over Thanksgiving dinner about how some other religions shame us as Christians just in their ability to pray faithfully three times a day. And they don't even pray to a living God. What's up with that, church? We need to learn. We're learning to become people of prayer. And we've talked about, just briefly, we've talked about to become people of prayer, we need to pray like monks three times a day. That's where that comes from. The ancient fathers, the ancient mothers of the church knew that prayer was important. Prayer is the trellis upon which our spiritual lives are built. And we must pray with persistency. I talked to you about that a couple of weeks ago. God said, or Jesus said, ask. Seek and knock. Be persistent. Don't give up. Even when it doesn't seem like God is hearing or answering our prayers, do not stop praying.
Amen.
Be pesky in your prayers. Amen?
Amen.
Today I want to focus on another aspect of becoming people of prayer. And today I want to talk about realizing the importance of daily bread types of prayer. I want to talk to you about the importance of daily bread types of prayer. Praying for your daily needs matters in more ways than you may realize. Praying for your daily needs. Guess what? Your pastor is giving you permission to pray for your daily needs. Some people, oh, I feel selfish. I feel like I'm selfish. No, you have needs in your life. Praying for daily needs, praying for our daily needs matters. Somewhere along the line, I don't know what's happened in the culture of the church over the centuries, but we've developed this understanding of a people of prayer, a person of prayer. Understanding how to pray means you have to learn some sort of lofty prayer language. You have to be able to project, and you have to be able to sound beautiful when you pray to the Lord, whether it's in person or in public. And I really do believe that's why some people are intimidated about praying in public, because they don't feel like they know the lofty prayer language. I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing. I'm afraid I'll mess it up if I pray in public or I pray out loud. We fear that our fluency in prayer language will be lackluster and that we'll look foolish. But in reality, we don't learn to become people of prayer by learning to say lofty, poetic, beautiful words in our prayers with stained glass window phrases. That's not what becoming people of prayer means. That's not what it looks like. We actually learn to become people of prayer by learning to properly ask God to meet our daily needs. It's in the asking God, the asking of the Father in heaven to meet our daily needs. That, in the day-to-day practice of asking God to meet our daily needs, that's where we learn to become people of prayer. It's why it's so important to develop a pattern of prayer in our lives. That framework, that structure upon which our spiritual lives are built. We actually learn to become people of prayer by learning to properly ask God to meet our daily needs. Key word there, properly. Did you know that God wants to hear you say it? God wants to hear you ask for it. He wants to hear you say it. We learn to pray by asking God for our most simple daily needs and concerns. This is the classroom in which we learn how to pray. And God wants to hear us say it. And you're like, where does it say that in the Bible, Pastor? Well, I would point you, and you can go read it this afternoon in its entirety. But in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, we read about this man who's been crippled since birth, and he's lying at the side of the pool of Bethesda. And the legend had it in the temple at that time, in Jesus' day here on earth, that when the waters of the pool were stirred, the first in would actually be healed of what ailed them. The healing waters of the pool of Bethesda. And this man was among crowds of people by the side of the pool. He was there at the pool every day. He sat at the side of that pool. He was crippled by some unknown ailment, but he couldn't move on his own. And he showed up there, and he had been there for years, and he had been crippled since birth, and he was 38 years old. 38 years of going through this crippling ailment, something that kept him from being able to get around on his own, and he's so close to the source of healing, and yet he can't get in the water first. And one day, Jesus and his disciples show up in the midst of this 38-year journey that this man is on. And Jesus approaches the crippled man, who's just a few steps away from the healing water, who's been in this condition for 38 years. And Jesus asks this man a very obvious, simple question. He says, "Hey, dude." And I really think Jesus said it that way. "Hey, dude. Hey, dude. Do you want to get well?" And the man kind of looks at him, and I think the man probably was speechless. You know, "What do you mean, do I want to get well, you snot? You stinker? Don't poke fun at me. What do you mean, do I want to get well?" And it's a really good question to ask, because, dude, you've been here for 38 years by this pool, this close to your healing, and yet you're still here. Have you never thought about strategizing with somebody to help you get in the water first? Or are you just so polite that you first? I doubt that was what was happening. And so I think it's very natural for Jesus to press this man on what his true intentions were. Do you want to get well, dude? Because you like been here for a long time. You've been sitting by the source of your healing for a long time, and here you are still crippled. Do you really want to get well? Or is there something else going on here? Sometimes we fall in love with our ailments. You know, it's kind of, you know, I've been sick. I've been kind of down the past 6 months, and every once in a while, it's kind of nice to have people look after you, meet your needs for you. You know, that's kind of cool every once in a while. Gets old. Tell you the truth. But, you know, he had to question this guy's intentions. Do you want to get well? Jesus wanted to hear him say it. Do you really want to get well? And the man, he replies, "Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water's stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Words of frustration here. Jesus can hear in his voice he does want to get well. Then Jesus says to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked away. It was the Sabbath, and it made the temple authorities all mad. That's another story for another day. But sometimes part of learning to pray is learning that God wants to hear us say it out loud. God wants to hear us say it out. He wants us to ask for our daily needs to be supplied. And you know what? Not just a requirement of you and I, requirement of Jesus himself. You're like, "Whoa, where does it say that in the Bible, dude?" Jeff Younger's back here shaking his head. Actually, if you go to the second psalm, write that one in your notes, Psalm 2. Psalm 2, verses 7 and 8, this is the psalmist talking about the Lord God in a conversation with the Son. "He said to me," God said to the Son, "You are my Son. Today I have become your Father." And in verse 8, the Father tells the Son, "Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance." The Father actually requires the Son to ask out loud, "Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance." It's a requirement for Jesus to ask as the Son of God, as part of the triune God, as part of the Trinity. He's required to ask. So if Jesus is required to ask, guess what? That's part of what we need to learn too. Amen. It's part of what we need to learn too. Learning to pray is learning to ask. And not just learning to ask for any willy-nilly thing we want, but learning to ask with right motives. You know, James teaches, and we talked about this several weeks ago, James talked about how you have not because you ask with wrong motives. You ask for the wrong motives. And so what are the right motives, right? That's the obvious question here. The right motives, I think, are revealed simply in the way Jesus teaches us to pray. Jesus taught his disciple, we prayed the Lord's Prayer this morning. The right motives on how to pray are embedded in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus teaches us to pray. When you pray, pray like this. Your kingdom come. Not my kingdom. It's not Joe Case's kingdom. It's not you out there. It's not your kingdom. He says, you, Father. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Invade my life. May your kingdom come. May your will be done here on earth as it's being done in heaven. You know, when we're praying with right motives, we're kind of syncing up our will with God's will. We're syncing our mindset and how we live our lives with the kingdom of heaven. We're syncing up with what's happening in eternity here and the here and now. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it's being done in heaven. When our will is aligned with God's will and with the authority of his kingdom, God will provide exactly what you need when you pray for your daily needs. I am here to tell you 100% guaranteed when we're praying in alignment with God, when we're praying your, and we really mean it, your kingdom come in my life, God. Your will be done in my life, God, here on earth as it is in heaven. And what's the very next phrase of the prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. Right? Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Before you ask for your daily bread, you got to get aligned. You got to get your motives aligned with the Father in heaven. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now that I'm aligned with your will, give me this day my daily bread. Give me, one of my favorite stories is our boys come into dinner, and if they don't like what's for dinner, they ask, what are we having for dinner tomorrow night? Sometimes you don't know what's on the menu, right? You come to the table, but you don't know what's on the menu. When our will is aligned with God's will, God will put on the table exactly what you need. Exactly what you need. It may not be what you expect. It may not be what you think you needed that day. It may not come packaged the way you think it should. But God, I'm telling you folks, when we pray in alignment with God's will in our life, God will provide for your daily needs. He will provide your daily bread. He will give you exactly what you need for the moment that you are in. He will give you in your heart and your soul exactly what you need to meet that moment and be obedient to him in your lives. And sometimes it doesn't look like a loaf of bread. Sometimes it doesn't look like the cash you need for your car payment. Okay? Sometimes the daily bread, God knows what you need every day. Amen? You think you know what you need, but God knows what you need. God knows what you need. Some days that bread may look like wisdom to say the right thing. Wisdom to, I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to know when to not say anything. Amen? Sometimes God will give you daily bread and it looks like compassion. It looks like, you know, maybe giving you the compassion so that you're seeing other people or you're seeing a need with the eyes of Jesus when you have other stuff to do. But he gives you the eyes of Jesus to have compassion. You didn't know you needed it that day, but he gives you what you need. Sometimes it looks like courage to do the right thing at work. You're at work, there's maybe some ethical challenge that you're facing, nobody else is looking, should I do it, should I not? Your daily bread that day is to do the right thing, even though no one else is looking. The Spirit gives you that power. Sometimes our daily bread looks like the ability to get the job done well. A lot of us go to work every day. We go to work every day, and I tell you what, I have leaned on the Lord's Prayer for decades in my life, and I really feel like any success I've had in my career, any successes I've had in my workplace, any successes I've had with my family, it's because God has provided what I've needed to show up and do my very best. Do it as if unto the Lord. Amen? Amen. Your work, your labor every day is a form of worship. Did you know that? Do it as if unto the Lord. When we go to work and we do that task, even though it seems meaningless in our hearts and our souls, maybe God's given our daily bread to put that rivet in. Do whatever, that repetitive task. Sometimes that's what daily bread looks like. Maybe sometimes daily bread looks like perseverance to deal with the boss that you got. I love my boss. I never need perseverance to love her. But I have worked for challenging bosses, and sometimes I have prayed, Lord, give me my daily bread. Give me what I need today so that I can be faithful to you and still deal with this difficult person that's in my life. Amen? Daily bread. It doesn't always look like a loaf of bread. It looks like what you need. And sometimes it looks like something you didn't even know you needed that day. It's like a surprise gift that shows up from Amazon on your porch. You didn't even know you needed it. And there it is. God wants us to ask. He wants you to ask for your daily needs. And that's why I love the Lord's Prayer. And that's why I love praying that every day, because it protects us. It's like insurance. If you're following Jesus, if you're trying to live a life following Christ, being a person of prayer, when you pray, give me this day my daily bread, I'm like, Jesus, just give me what I need to face the unknown today. I don't know what's coming. You do. Give me what I need so that I can be your man in this moment and be an effective agent of your kingdom. Or maybe sometimes it's just give me what I need so I don't compromise my spiritual walk with you, so that I can have the strength and courage to do the right thing. Why does asking for our daily bread matter? Because our prayers for the small things in life, they seem small to us, they're actually the building blocks upon which we are building a relationship with God, the Father in heaven. Those small, insignificant things that we're praying about every day, they may seem insignificant in the moment to us. They're important to us, but we're almost embarrassed to ask for them. But don't discount the importance. It's not just the need. It's the opportunity to ask is a building block upon which your relationship with God is being built and established. Our daily need is the place where the relationship grows. Amen. Our daily need is where our relationship with God grows. Daily bread prayers remind us that we are not in control. They remind us that we're not in control, and daily bread prayers remind us that we have to learn to trust in our Father in heaven. Amen. We have to learn to trust. Amen. Daily bread prayers are the context for the relationship. They're context for our conversations with God. You know, because when we go into prayer, a lot of the time we go right to our list, right? Hey, God. Hello, God. I got a need over here. Help me out. Brother in need. Sammy liked that. There's a brother in need. The daily bread prayers are the context of the conversation we have with God. You know? I've said this to you before, and I think it's so fundamentally important to understand. The conversations that we have with one another define the relationships that we have with people. The conversations we have with one another define our relationships. The things we talk about define the nature of our relationships. If we see somebody at the office or whatnot and just have small talk, hey, how you doing? I'm great, even though you're not. You know how that conversation goes. Small talk conversations equal shallow relationships. Amen. There's not much of a relationship there. If you think about it, we only trust talking about our deepest needs in the relationships where we have the most trust. When it feels safe. When there's trust that no judgment zone, right? It's a safe place to express my deepest needs. At the conversations you have, I want you to think about the conversations you have with people, because the conversation, it totally reflects and defines the relationship you're having with that other individual. And the conversations you have with God, or the lack of conversations we have with God, define the relationship. praying for our daily needs matters because these prayers, they seem to be small prayers. Those are the prayers where we learn to develop a trusting relationship with God. It's like repetition over and over. You go to the gym and you're lifting weights. You do that repetition to build up the muscles. And these daily prayers, praying for our daily bread every day, we're building up those trust muscles. We're learning to trust the Father. Praying for parking spaces helps us to learn to trust God. Did you know that? Learn to trust God and learn that we're not in control and learn that God is and that we can trust Him. Our prayers for small things, they also enable us. They enable us to be empowered by God to partner with Him. Your prayers matter. If you leave with one thing this morning, I want you to hear that your prayers matter. Part of becoming a people of prayer is learning to develop a growing confidence in the reality that your prayers that you pray matter. They matter to God. They matter to us as your church. They matter to the people around you. And it's not just that our prayers are precious to the Father and that He's collecting them. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. God scrapbooks our prayers. He's going to pour them out and use them to make all things new. It's not just that God considers your prayers precious. Your prayers have the potential to move God. I'm not sure we have many who believe that here this morning. Your prayers have the potential to move God. Amen?
Amen.
Our prayers have the potential to move the Creator of everything into action. I really believe that we do not live in a closed universe where everything is set in stone. We can pray and we can move God to act. We can move God into action. We see this in Exodus, that when we pray with the right motives and in alignment with God, we can move God into action. And in the book of Exodus, Moses is leading the nation of Israel after they've escaped Egypt, and the Israelites built an idol while Moses was up on a mountain, and God is so ticked off at the Israelites, even though He just delivered them through the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was crushed, and they've seen all these miracles, and they've been through so much together. They are free now, and they're building golden images. And God is mad. God is angry. And He is ready to just throw down thunder, lightning, and fire on the nation of Israel and just do away with them. And Moses is courageous enough to stand between a wrathful God and His people and pray with right motives. I love the way he prays if you go look at that story in the book of Exodus. But he prays in such a way that he reminds God of what God promised Abraham. Through these people, you will bless the entire world. Now, and Moses goes to God and says, now God, if you promised Father Abraham that you're going to bless the entire world through this nation, you're not going to be able to fulfill that promise if you destroy them all. And Moses, so he's praying with right motive. He's reminding God of his promises. And he winds up convincing God to spare his wrath on the people of Israel, to withhold his anger, to withhold the lightning bolts, to withhold all of that stuff. And I want us to see that that just shows us that it is possible to move God. It is possible. And that's not just a Moses thing. When we are aligned with the will of God, you're enabled and empowered to align with God and move Him too. And I think, just to close out this morning, in the last couple of minutes here, I think it's really important for us to understand as we're becoming people of prayer that learning to pray is not learning to crack some code so that God becomes your personal vending machine. You know, becoming people of prayer is not about a formula. It's not about a code to be cracked. The author of the book that inspired the sermon series that I've been preaching here, his name's Tyler Staton. He said, God is a relational being, not a formula to master.
Amen.
God is he wants to have a relationship with you. He is not a formula to master. Having a relationship with God through prayer means that we are going to have to become comfortable with mystery. Did you catch that this morning? In order to become people of prayer, in order to have a relationship with God, we have to become comfortable with mystery. This is part of the lesson. This is part of the lesson, church. I don't want you to miss it. We have to become comfortable with mystery if we're going to become a people of prayer, because sometimes God is going to answer prayer in ways that amaze us.
Amen.
He just is. And sometimes, just to be really straight and honest with you, because I like to give it to you straight, sometimes it'll seem as if he doesn't answer our prayers at all. Okay? I'm not selling you a bill of goods here this morning. And so becoming a people of prayer means that we have to grow into people who are comfortable with this mysterious God who sometimes doesn't answer prayer the way we think it needs to be answered. We need to become people who are comfortable with mystery. Relationships entail becoming comfortable with mystery. I have been enthralled and entranced by this beautiful lady over here. If you've seen The Little Rascals, you know. I have been enthralled and entranced by Victoria since July 7th, 1986. I can tell you the day. I can show you the place at the campgrounds up in St. Mary's, right next. I can show you the tree where we first met and said and got introduced to each other. I know all this stuff. This is landmark stuff for me, and I have just been enthralled and entranced by her ever since. We've been married for 33 years. I know her, yeah. I know her better than probably anybody else in the world except her mom. I do. True. And yet there are parts of her that remain a mystery to me. Amen? We're living life together every day. We've been doing it for more than half of our lives, yet there are still pieces of the puzzle that I have not figured out. They are mysterious to me. And if you've been in a long-term relationship with someone ever, you know what I'm talking about. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I am an expert in Victoria Borer Case. That's her maiden name, by the way. I got a PhD in Vicky Case, and yet she still puzzles both her mother and I at times. So we just look at her and scratch our heads. Having a relationship with God is just like that, folks. You know, I'm not telling you anything that doesn't happen here on earth, right? On earth as it is in heaven. We get comfortable with mystery and relationships with other human beings. And if you think you know someone completely, let me tell you something else. You don't. There's always an element of mystery. There's always an element of the unknown. Because I can't get inside that beautiful little head and figure out why those wheels are clicking the way they are. And she tries to tell me, yeah, we should switch, right? But having a relationship with God is the same way. As we become people of prayer, we're going to get to know God better and better. But we're never going to know him all the way. Till we get to eternity, right? I mean, he's God. He's the creator of the universe. We have to become comfortable with mystery. And we have to develop a deep sense and trust in who he is and his character and get comfortable that sometimes we may not always get what we want when we pray for it. But he's going to give us exactly what we need. God listens. God cares. God is moved by your prayers. Matthew chapter 7, second half of the passage as we wrap up this morning that we read last time I talked to you. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Ask for your daily bread. That's all that God wants. And every day you ask for the things that seem too small, know that you are developing a deeper and stronger relationship with the master of the universe, the creator of all things. God cares about parking space prayers. God cares. I even know for a fact a few of you have had parking space prayers answered recently. I was talking to Paul Grandinette just a couple weeks ago by text. Short story. Kim had lost her wedding ring. Couldn't find it anywhere. They were in a scramble tearing the house up. It was the first Sunday I had preached about praying to God. Sometimes we forget to pray. And PJ stopped the whole family. And he said, "Mom, maybe we should do what Pastor Joe said and we should just pray." They stopped. They prayed. "Lord, help us find the ring." 40 seconds later, it showed up. Parking lot prayer. Find the ring prayer. Doug Zinkon, his dad. You know, they're looking for rehab options, things like that. You know, trying to figure out where are we going to put dad once he's out of the hospital. Got to find a place that's close to home, going to work, got to pray. Let's stop. Let's pray for it. Wasn't finding any answers before the prayer as soon as they prayed for it. What happened, Doug? Yep, answer prayer.
Amen.
God cares about Maplewood's small prayers. God, and I've got dozens of other, I told Emily and Curtis, they shared a couple things with me over the holiday where God has answered prayer that way. God cares about your small prayers. Your prayers matter. You can move God. And when you pray those small prayers, don't feel like they're too small to pray for. Realize they're the building blocks upon which your relationship with God is being built. It's what it takes to become people of prayer.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.